Chapter 5. How was any of this possible? I was a man, and men didn't have powers or abilities. None of this made sense. But somehow, I had to believe it. My women existed entirely because of me and my blood. This wasn't blood manipulation or hemokinesis. This was something ingrained in my genetics. But what could that mean? My knees buckled, and I slumped into a stool by the examination table. My laboratory was eerily silent. Even AB seemed to have fallen asleep during all of this, and I felt the absence of his usual banter like a physical weight on my shoulders. All of my women had gone to bed. Was I expected to do that, too, after I'd made such an astounding discovery? I paused for a moment and cupped my chin as I scrutinized the coppery exterior of my machine. I'd always thought it was my machine, or the animals that made my machine work smoothly, along with the combined power of my human blood, but I was wrong. The operation only worked because of my blood, solely because of my blood. How could this be? I growled, and glanced over toward AB. The brain floated lazily in the crystal blue liquid of his tank. He seemed so serene in his strange state of sleep. Did he sleep, or was it merely an unconscious state of nothingness? It didn't matter how he slept, but thinking about it was a nice distraction from the state of chaos my mind was currently in. How did I move forward from this? Did I accept it and move on? What other choice did I have? But there were so many questions left. How did I receive this type of power? Was it from my mother? A few days ago, Edeny had mentioned that my mother could be anyone, since the male babies were shipped into the boarding schools from all over the country. But could we track her down? Who could my mother be? I didn't even know if I might have received these powers from her. Could I even call it an ability? Yes, and that meant that I was the first man in the history of the world to receive powers. That fact rocked me back in my stool, and I grunted from the force of it. I had magic, and no other man did. The questions echoed and bounced off the walls of my skull for a long time. I had to find out, but Edeny already said it would be a difficult task. Though she did say that it wasn't impossible, only a tedious and challenging undertaking. Who could she be? I'd always assumed that she was someone from Edenheart, and I'd unknowingly passed by her at least once or twice in my life, but I'd recently found out that wasn't true. She could be anyone from any number of cities surrounding Edenheart, or even someone from the capital. Whoever she was, she passed this power down to me through our blood. I hadn't cared who my mother was for a very long time. She'd given birth to me and then tossed me away like trash. But she'd given me an extraordinary gift. It was kind of funny. If I'd never met Edeny or built my machine, I would have never found out. I would have lived my life as most men did and never discovered this amazing part of me. I wanted to laugh, throw my head back and guffaw at the ceiling madly. An aristocrat had given birth to me and ingrained her power into my genes, and I would use that very same power to destroy the matriarchy. How ironic.
Charles?
A worried voice whispered from behind me.
Are you all right? I was waiting for you upstairs, but you never came. Then I heard loud noises. Is everything all right? Oh, dear, why are you sitting here all alone?
Edeny, I croaked without turning around to look at her. Who do you think she is?
What? Whatever do you mean? She? Who are you talking about?
Who do you think my mother is? She has to be someone pretty powerful, don't you think?
Charles, I don't understand.
Let me show you. I hastily stood, turned toward her, and grasped her by the delicate wrist.
Show me what? Charles, why are you acting so strange?
Edeny, I discovered something, and it's going to blow your mind. I had a hunch, but it'd be best if I showed you. I pulled the Duchess toward the cracked door of Compartment B, and then slowly opened the door. The she-wolf stared down at the blackened husk that once was an aristocrat, and her face paled immediately. Her hand slipped out of mine and clasped together at chest level. The Duchess tiptoed forward and stared down at the corpse for a moment before turning back to her.
What happened? What happened to her?
This is the result of using another man's blood in my machine. You never saw it before, but this was what happened before we started using my blood and the animals. every patient died within the walls of this compartment. I had the hunch that my machine wouldn't work without my blood. I'd always thought it was the beast that made the experiment work, and my blood was only a small fraction of the components that went into it. So I tried it out. I asked Private Page for a few droplets of his blood, and retested the experiment. It didn't work. My blood is what makes the transformation happen, Edeny.
Then you have magic?
I believe so. If it weren't true, this experiment would have worked, and we'd have another monster woman.
So you want to find out who your mother was?
The she-wolf asked, turned toward me, and crossed her arms over her chest. Yes. Maybe if we find her, we can get some answers to how I received this power.
Charles.
Edeny gasped and reached out for me.
I know it hasn't hit you yet, but this is an amazing discovery. You are the first man in existence to receive powers. That's why you're special. That's why I had such strange reactions to you in the beginning. I knew from the moment I laid eyes on you that there was something different about you. You aren't like all of the other brutes. When I spoke to you and looked deeply into your eyes, it felt like I was in the presence of another aristocrat. And I think that's why I treated you so poorly. I knew I couldn't and shouldn't feel that way in the presence of a brute. It must have been your blood. Your royal blood.
I wouldn't call it royal blood. Maybe aristocratic, but definitely not royal.
Well, you never know, Charles. You could easily be the son of someone from the royal court, a marchioness, or maybe even the queen. We'll never know until we start looking into it.
The queen? I don't think that's possible. According to Kalara, the queen didn't like men.
From what I've heard through gossip, Kalara was a fairly new addition to the court. So who knows what and who the queen was doing before then? I'm not saying it is the queen, but looking at the possibilities, could be, especially if you were at the boarding school here in Edenheart.
What do you mean by that? I asked and furrowed my eyebrows.
Most of the children housed there are wards from the capital,
Edeny explained. But what about the boys born in Edenheart? What happens to them? Are they not taken there?
Well, no, they aren't. The brutes at those boarding schools are Edenheart's next workforce and consorts. Do you think an aristocrat who births a boy wants to see the brute she gave up wandering through the streets 18 years later? Not only that, but after so many years, those brutes are of the age to become consorts, and the aristocrats who gave birth to them probably don't recognize them. No one likes inbreeding, Charles. They ship them out to other cities, so such a problem wouldn't arise in the future.
By science, that is so fucked up. They ship them out to other cities so they can't accidentally have sex with them?
It's happened a few times before. And the children that come from those sad unions, well, let's just say they don't do very well. They're ill, and most of them end up in the sanatoriums. That's why my mother handpicked her consorts from another country and bred with him exclusively. It's sad to say, but I know I have a few brothers somewhere out there. She often told me of the mistakes that came out of her womb and how she cast them aside without barely looking at them.
We'll look for them, too. We'll find them and we'll locate my mother, whoever she is.
What do we do, Charles?
What do you mean? About finding our lost families?
No. About your power.
I don't think there's anything we can do about it right now. Maybe, except tell your sisters in the morning. We could look into it, but since I'm the first man ever to develop powers, I don't know where we'd start.
There's an encyclopedia in the town's library.
Edeny uttered and tapped her chin.
It cites every known power that's come into existence so far. They update it every year, and we always have the newest copy. We could look into it if you like. It might give us hints.
Yes. I'll send one of the guards to retrieve it tomorrow, and we'll go over it together.
Now, Charles, let's put all of this away for now and go to bed. I know you must be tired after all this, And if we're going to finish the transformations tomorrow, I want you to be well rested.
You're right, I breathed, and then offered the she-wolf my hand. I'll have Askara take out the corpse and bury it tomorrow. For now, she can wait down here until we're ready. Now, let's get to bed. I tugged the Duchess toward the laboratory's door, and we quickly climbed up into the darkness together. The air was cold, and I held the wolf woman close to my body for warmth. Our breath came out in white puffs of steam, and Edeni held her cloak closer to her body as she shivered. Fall was here, and before long, chilly rains would hit, and shortly after that, it would bring the freezing winter storms. I worried that once we left Edenheart, the roads would be impassable to the other cities in the duchy. Once we reached the darkened house and climbed up onto the porch, I ripped open the front door and ushered the Duchess inside. The manor was utterly silent, and the two of us crept upstairs toward the master bedroom. When we finally slipped into place in the massive bed, Edeni pressed herself against my side, rested her head against my bare chest, and slowly drifted off to sleep. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to sleep after tonight's discovery. I had no idea what it meant, and I doubted that any of these questions would be answered soon, but I needed to know. Why had I received something like this? Was it because of my mother, or was it some sort of strange twist of fate? It wasn't like the powers and abilities of the aristocrats. It wasn't something that I could activate and use against someone. What could it be, then? I had no other choice than to bed down, close my eyes, and fall into a dreamless slumber surrounded by all of my monster women. When the sun rose, I was the first to wake, unsurprisingly, since I hadn't gotten much sleep anyway. I scooted off the bed, crossed to the large dresser, and pulled out clothes for the day. My women slept soundly, and I didn't wake them since they'd had a tiring last few days. They needed the rest, and I wanted to finish the rest of the experiments as soon as possible. But that meant I had to break the core first. I wasn't entirely sure how to do it, but I already knew that I needed to use my alchemy skills to create crystal tools or something like that to break the elemental sphere. Quietly, I crept out of the room, closed the door behind me with a soft snap, and headed toward my library. I kept all of my old notes and alchemy books there for safekeeping since I didn't practice the craft as often as I used to. I mainly concocted potions and serums for my women when they needed them. I creaked open the library door and then chuckled to myself softly as I spied the red yarn strewn around the room. It seemed that Valerie had been the last one here and had yet again forgotten to pick up her mess. I didn't mind. In fact, I kind of enjoyed finding their little messes around the house. It reminded me that after such a long time, I wasn't alone in this large house. I kicked the wads of yarn away, chuckled under my breath, and then ran my fingers against the spines of each row of books. I kept my alchemy books lowered to the ground, since I didn't read them anymore. But they used to occupy the desk in the corner. Once Edeni found me in the streets, I didn't need them as much, but I still liked to keep myself well-versed in the alchemy world. During my time as a street-side peddler, I kept notebooks and wrote down everything I learned. I had 10 in total, varying in size and shape, and I grabbed all of them off the shelf. I carried them in a single armload out of the library, down the stairs, and hurried out the front door before any of my monster women could wake up. Right as my foot touched down on the gravel, an oaky voice boomed from my far left, and I swiveled my head in that direction.
"Good morning, sire. You're up early."
"Yes," I chuckled and gave him a curt wave. "I have quite a few things to take care of, and I wanted to get started before anyone else got up."
"Anything I can help you with, sire?"
the guard asked and rested his palm against the hilt of his sword at his waist.
"Yes,"
I grunted, and paused for a moment, a few feet away from the entrance down into the laboratory. "Get some rest. The next few weeks will be busy."
"Of course, sire," the guard nodded.
"Thank you," I smiled, turned, and hurried down the stairs into my laboratory. Most of the room was cast in shadows as the first few yellow rays of sunshine poured in through the high windows. My glorious machine loomed across the room and seemed to wait for me patiently, but I wouldn't be using it for a few more hours. A.B. lazily floated around the expanse of his tank, and lazy bubbles brushed against his bumpy surface. I couldn't tell if he was still in that strange state of sleep or simply ignoring me. "A.B.? A.B., are you awake?" Nope. He was definitely asleep, which was fine with me, since that meant I'd have a few moments of quiet before he woke up or my monster women came down. Being down here alone was very strange for me. It had been months since I created Valerie and all of her sisters, and the deafening silence gave me an odd sense of nostalgia. I loved my life, and I adored my monster women, but I think I forgot about the life that I used to live in this house. I laid out all of my alchemy books on the examination table, sat down on the rolling stool, and then scooted closer. Each of the books was numbered, and I reached for the one with the small cursive one in the corner. The binding was torn, and when I lifted it from the metal table, it nearly fell apart in my hands. Each of these journals was well-loved and heavily used. I'd been a different man when I wrote in all of these alchemy journals, and as I flipped to the first page of the book, even my handwriting seemed unfamiliar to me. Over the past few months, I'd noticed how much I'd changed, but when looking at the notes scribbled in the corners and margins of each spell told a different story of a tired and afraid young man. The certain page I looked at was for a potion called Bottled Sunshine, used for dry and flaking skin. The certain note scribbled beside the recipe read, "Go deeper into the forest for the helianthus roots. Danger at the forest's edge. Protection spell over the flowers from another alchemist. Burnt hand trying to reach through the force field, didn't see it in time. Look for new salve recipe." I remembered writing that while holding my throbbing hand to my chest. The female alchemist in this town and others were cutthroat, and they certainly didn't want a man encroaching on their ingredients. "That's enough of that," I whispered, scratched the top of my head, and flipped through the pages. The first three books held nothing that would help me in breaking the core. But since I started them when I was still a novice, it was understandable. The third book gave more promising answers, not in the potion recipes or the other alchemic craftable items, but in a single note I found scribbled into the margins close to the bending spine. The ink was a little smeared, but if I squinted at it, I could easily make out the words. "Crystal tools? Saw an alchemist on the street, cutting a gate into smaller pieces for a customer. Is this possible? Going back to the market to ask around might not get answers from the other female alchemists, but I'm staying hopeful." If it were me now, I would have gone down there and demanded them to tell me. I flipped through the last few pages, slammed it shut, and then skimmed through the next two. There were no other mentions of the crystal tools in those, and I grabbed for another. I knew it had to be in here somewhere because I remembered it, but I didn't fully recall the recipe and instructions.
"Charles!"
Six voices called at once, and I nearly fell out from my chair. I whipped around and saw all of my monster women standing in the doorway. They smiled at me until Daisy stepped forward and placed her closed fists on her hips.
"What do you think you're doing, mister?"
the bear girl asked with a single raised eyebrow.
Digging through my alchemy books for the crystal tools?"
"We were supposed to do that together,"
Valerie whined.
"We wanted to read them and hear all of your stories from your past."
"How very sneaky of you, Charles,"
Ryan chided through a smirk.
"Trying to get out of telling us embarrassing stories."
That's not it. I simply wanted to let all of you sleep a little longer."
"Well, we wanted to look through your alchemy books with you."
"You still can. I have a few more to look through. I'm trying to find the instructions, but I've forgotten which journal they're in."
"Charles, Charles, Charles,"
Daisy tutted and crossed her arms over her chest.
"See, if we'd been down here, I would have been able to tell you. I've practically memorized your alchemy books. They're in Book 9, page 34.
Thank you. I guess I should have woken you up to begin with. I spent all of this time muddling through these books, but it was nice to reminisce. The times have changed, and when I looked back at these journal entries and the notes I made in the margins, I was nothing more than a scared little boy."
"And you're all man now."
Cleia giggled from the back, and then immediately flushed red.
"I guess you're right. I'm a completely different person, and I have you to thank for that, Entity. You helped make me into the man I am today."
"No."
The Duchess shook her head.
"I wouldn't say it was me. I may have been a driving force behind a lot of the changes, but it wasn't me. You made yourself into the man you are. You made yourself stronger, and I'm so incredibly proud of you, Charles."
"Thank you. I appreciate that, Enony.
I reached across the table, picked up the correct journal, and flipped to the page that Daisy had specified. I glanced over the list of ingredients and instruments we'd need to create the crystal tools. I was pretty sure that I had everything we needed, but rose from my chair and crossed the room toward the cabinets to check just in case. I opened up the standalone glass case and glanced in at all the bottled ingredients I kept on hand. Salammoniac, good, good, I murmured. Aqua fortis, aqua regla, antimony, good. I reached into the cabinet, grabbed an armful of bottles, and then pointed toward one of the drawers closest to me. Can one of you get in there and grab me the golden sheet? I asked, and then grinned widely. Who's ready to craft some crystal tools?